For our scripture reading this morning, I was trying to think of a creative way for us to read our scripture this morning and to include some voices that aren't mine. And so I sent out a request to a handful of people and asked them, had two criteria. One, I asked all women because the first preachers of the resurrection story were women. The first tellers of the resurrection story were women, as we'll hear in our passage this morning. And the second thing I did was, and this was the real ask, I asked them to record themselves reading some of the scripture first thing in the morning, because that is when the Easter story begins. It begins even while it is still dark. And so I invite you to hear the scripture that way through some familiar voices and familiar faces. And as the story says, it begins in the dark.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen.
Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Then the disciples went back to their homes.
But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot.
They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thanks to those of you who participated in that and offered that word to us this morning. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this familiar story, and we pray that we would hear it with fresh ears and open hearts this morning, that your spirit would move in us, and that that the promise of resurrection would be fresh for us this morning, and that it would equip us to navigate this world in which we live. God, we pray that you would speak to us now, in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. In her writing on Easter in this season, disciple pastor Dawn Darwin Weeks wrote that, quote, "There are at least two ways to miss a miracle. First, to dismiss it, to reject it too readily as if astonishing things never happen. And second, to domesticate it, to accept it too readily, as if it isn't astonishing at all. None of us is taking Easter for granted this year. All of the things that we normally do to mark time and to mark this moment in our church year, to hear the story that we love to hear, all of those things are upside down. There's no egg hunts at church or with our friends or with our neighbors. We're not having big communal meals together. As great a job as our musicians have done in this virtual space, leading us in music, there is nothing like the collected sounds of people singing Christ the Lord is risen today. Gathered people sing that song differently than they sing almost any other song. And I missed hearing it that way this year. This year, I think, or because of the last few weeks, because of what has been Lent has been like for us, we're looking for Easter like we have never looked for Easter before, at least not collectively. But Easter, the way we have always enjoyed it, is not exactly available to us. And so to the point of that earlier quote, maybe we have been guilty in the past of accepting it too readily, accepting it so readily that we missed it, the miracle of it altogether. If you've been a church person for a while, this is just what you do on Easter Sunday morning. You put on the nicest thing that's there in your closet, and you point your car in the direction of the church, and it just seems to go there. And more or less, you know what to expect. You know what story you're going to hear. You know what songs we're going to sing, all of those things. And so imagine how we got to a place where a story like this one doesn't come as a surprise. We surely over time have made it about too many other things, about pastel colors, about candy, about eggs. But maybe also those things that we do, those cultural things that we do, we're sort of covering up how numb we have gotten to astonishing things, to being amazed by things that happen around us every day. In the past, we've told the story and we've eaten a big lunch and then we've gone home like nothing has changed. I remember when Noah was little and he was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I was reading him a story. He's eyeing me from off camera here. I remember reading him a story when we were about 3 or 4 years old. He was about 3 or 4 years old, of the Easter story. It was a very simple little story about everything that happened. And I finished reading the book, and he started asking me questions. And he asked me so many questions. I thought he was going to just talk me under the bed. He was asking so many questions. And most of them, to every one of my answers, he just kept saying, "How? But how? But how?" And I had to face the fact that I didn't have many answers to the questions that he had, and that I paid a lot of money and spent a lot of time learning how to think about those questions. And I still had to basically say, I don't know. All we know is that God gives us life, and that God gives us life at times and in places where we would never expect to find life or to receive life. And every time we see life happening around us, especially in places that we don't expect and at times that we don't expect it, we just have to remember God and be thankful. That's really all we can do. And remember that when things seem really bad, that's not the end. Which seems like as important a thing to say, as simple as it is, it seems like as important a thing to say right now as at any other time. When things are really bad, that's not the end. So on this very strange Easter that doesn't feel like Easter, we can't allow this newly fearful, masked world that we live in to rob us of the belief that we have, that astonishing things still happen, even in the midst of, in spite of, in the face of all of the pain that we see around us. That even now there is life here, and there is life springing up, and there is life being born. And maybe even in this time, we can reclaim some of our astonishment, things that really are astonishing reminders of the resurrection that we took for granted before. Maybe we will be astonished again, regain some wonder, some awe, that even here, even now, even when things are as they are, that God can still be at work making things new. Our series for this Lenten season over these past 7 weeks has been exploring the sacred act of mending, fixing stuff, repairing that which has been broken or torn. In a culture where we throw away things as soon as they are of no use to us or no longer of use to us, in a culture when we throw people away when they are no longer of use to us, it's a holy thing to make the claim that even broken things can be repaired or repurposed. My concern as I've grown older for the climate has led me to a new kind of vigilance about this. I will carry around a plastic bottle indefinitely until I find a recycling bin. I will not throw it away because we need to remake things, recycle them. I'll hold on to things that really I'd like to get rid of, but I hold on to them and I store them and I keep them until I find some other place or somebody who wants them or needs them. I look back sometimes at old pictures of myself and I see myself in clothes from that I was wearing 10 years ago that are still in my closet, even if they're missing buttons or they're a little frayed at the bottom. Ultimately, mending is the discipline of people who believe in resurrection. To look on something or someone and believe that there is hope there, that there's possibility there, that there's life there, to insist that there is yet to be a future where there seems to be no future. That's what Easter is. God looks at a world that has rejected the unconditional love of Jesus, that looked at the vulnerability of Jesus and preferred power, that preferred comfort for a few people instead of justice for everyone, that preferred domination to servanthood, that preferred vanity to humility. And God looks at that world and refuses to give up on it. Even those people who threw away what God most treasures, God won't give up on those people. God looks at this mess, this unholy mess, and says it can be mended. It can be fixed. Even when we can't see that about ourselves, even when we can't see that about the world we live in, God looks at it and says it can be fixed. But you know, nothing that's repaired or fixed or amended is as it was before, is it? You replace a part on your car and it runs fine and it drives the same, but then it's not the same car you bought, is it? You rip a hole in your favorite t-shirt and you can sew it up or you can patch it, but it'll never be like it was, will it? Some of you have new hips and you have new knees, and they're a miracle of modern medicine, but they're not the hips and the knees you had when you were 15, are they? At the end of our passage, Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, "Don't cling to me." Even in the midst of good news, there's a pause there. Don't cling to me. Things are not going back to the way they were before. Resurrection, as you've heard me say before, resurrection is not resuscitation. Lazarus, we talked about Lazarus a few weeks ago. Lazarus was resuscitated. He came back from the dead, but Lazarus would one day die again. Jesus lives now. Jesus is resurrected, but does not live in the same way he lived before. And because Jesus lives, because of all the things that he stood for, because of all the things that he was, because all of those things that he stood for and did cannot finally be executed by systems of power and corruption. Things are different. The world is different. It's not going back to the world that it was before. Things will be different. Lots of us have been looking toward a day when things will be back to normal. Just want things to be back to normal. We want a normal routine. We want to go to the grocery store like normal. We want our kids to go to school like normal. And I know with certainty that there will be a resurrection today that comes. But I doubt seriously that things are going back to the way they were before. We will be resurrected from this, not resuscitated. I've heard some folks say that we may never go back to shaking hands. I was raised in the South, and shaking hands is currency. To think we may never do that again, it's hard to imagine. We may, some of us may never go back to traditional ways of working in offices. And we may never go back to doing all of our teaching and educating in actual classrooms. And those things that may never be as they were before, they may give us some pause and they may cause some grief. But there's also good news in not going back to a normal that wasn't working for a lot of people in the first place. Even in not going back to a normal when so many everyday blessings that actually are transcendent or just had become commonplace to us, to not go back to a time when we took those things for granted. I keep thinking about what that resurrection day will be like. Today is Easter, yes, but resurrection day will be the day when we all come out of our places where we have been quarantined. I think about that day and I think about the things that I will cherish in ways that I had not before. The things that I miss that I never knew I would miss. The first strum of a guitar at a live performance by one of my favorite musicians. You know, that first strum of the guitar that makes your rib cage shake a little bit. That will be a resurrection moment. The roar of a crowd when my team scores a touchdown or when they make a big shot, and a whole bunch of people who are different in so many ways have collected their attention and all of their emotion towards something that has no cosmic importance whatsoever. And that sound, that different sound when people are celebrating together. I imagine being in a restaurant. You remember those? Imagine being in a restaurant and being at a table with good friends and having good food and laughing and telling stories and telling my children that they have to eat what's on their plate because I have to pay for it anyway. And the low din of all kinds of other people around me that are having all the same kinds of experiences. I think about going to a movie and getting so lost in another world. You know that feeling when you get so lost in a movie and all of a sudden you step out of the doors of the movie theater and it takes you a few minutes to remember the world that you left behind before you went in? I have a lot of hope that we will start to appreciate the people who make our world go around in a way, and to appreciate them in a way so that they do not have to live on the margins. And I'm thinking about store clerks, and I'm thinking about janitors and teachers and nursing assistants and farm workers and delivery drivers. I think about how on that resurrection day, we will see each other differently in a different way than the way we have always seen each other before. When I can go in public and see a face without a mask on it. And see someone else's face in a way that I've never paid attention to it before. Or when I go to the grocery store to not go to my preferred self-checkout, but to go instead to a line where there is a person who has been making my world go around in a way I never imagined before, and to look them in the eye and ask them how their day is. That will be a resurrection moment. I won't go back to normal. It'll be a resurrected kind of life, not a resuscitated kind of life. You can miss a miracle. You can miss it because you believe they don't happen, or because you've domesticated them and you've forgotten how radical they are. But today, I hope we can both believe that they happen and be astonished that they happen. We are going to be resurrected. And we are not going back to the way things were before. That's what it means to belong to the God who brings life from death, who looks on our broken pieces and insists that even we can be mended. Amen.